In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we read the Gospel called the Gospel of Blessings. It's the Gospel where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And if you recall, we read this Gospel about maybe 6 weeks ago, and Abuna gave us a beautiful talk on it. And we're a bit surprised that, again, now it's the Gospel again so soon. Now, the reason that is that this Gospel is read on the fifth Sunday of every Coptic month. And the last fifth Sunday of the Coptic month just happened to land on the 7th of June. And apart from that, every time we read it on the 5th of every month, if it's in the first half of the year, we read it out of the book of St. John. And if it's out of the second half of the year, it's out of the book of Luke. Apart from the fifth Sunday of every month, we also read it on the third Sunday of Abib, which is today, and also the second Sunday of Amshir, which sits around the February, March. So this Gospel's read quite a lot, and we've all heard it before, and we all probably listened to it several times, and there's so many different commentaries and sermons on it. And I'm going to repeat a lot of what Father Dan said about it the other week. So please don't be bored and forgive me if I'm repeating ourselves a bit. But it is such an important message that we are taught today. And when we were taught about it several weeks ago, I sat back and listened to the sermon, nodded, yep, that's a beautiful sermon. And 6 weeks later, I looked back and, have I done anything different? Have I done any of these things that Jesus commanded us to do 6 weeks ago? And the answer is no. And I guess the question was why? For me personally, why? And the Gospel tells us why. It's very clear. Now, let's just take a step back. Jesus spent that day once again teaching about the kingdom. He healed everyone who needed healing. And towards a late afternoon, the disciples come to him and say, send them away so they can find their lodging in the surrounding towns. And Jesus turns to them and says, no, you give them something to eat. Now, we're talking 5,000 men. St. Matthew specifically calls out that it was men only, women and children on top of that. So we're talking 20,000 people. You've got Jesus on many occasions before would then send the disciples away and spend the rest of the afternoon with the multitude and then send them away. This time specifically, he's saying to them, you give them 20,000 people something to eat. And they're looking at him like, all right, come on, take it easy on us here. It was a big question. How do you want us to do this, Jesus? And yes, it was a matter of faith. He had done it previously, and they should have known better. But still, it was a very big ask. And we look at the world today, and the world is hungry. The world, everyone around us, is hungering for something missing in their lives. And they look for it in the weirdest places. They follow the strangest religions. They follow the weirdest ideas in life. They go to these seminars, these life training seminars that I've been hearing about, and it puzzles me. And then I was talking to one of my colleagues at work who spent thousands of dollars on these life seminars. I'm not sure if you've heard of a guy called Tony Robbins. He does motivational speaking, but apart from that, he does life training as well. And I said, what did you get out of it? He goes, oh, it was fabulous. I've been assigned a life coach. And apart from that, throughout the whole session, they taught us about not being self-absorbed, looking at how to help other people and how to truly love other people and to not be self-centered. I'm like, wow, that's great. That's all good things. And is there any, what's the center of it? And he goes, no, that's basically the concept. And I was like, this guy's a genius. He is selling something that God is preaching to us, and God shows us that the only way to get satisfied by that is through him. Now, they've taken out that satisfaction and just sold the idea. So you're always hungry for more. So these guys are going to seminar after seminar after seminar. They're not completely getting filled, but they love the concept. And I go to him, that's great. You know, I've got a life coach too. He wears black. He's got a beard. Doesn't charge me thousands of dollars. If I ring him, he'll come to me. And it was like, that's how hungry they are for something missing in their lives. And it's clear as day that you look at these people follow these seminars. They become life members and they follow him from course to course to course. They fly to Fiji. They fly to New Zealand. They literally follow him around like almost like a god. And it's like, it's so clear when you step back as a Christian and see these people don't need a life coach, they need God. And they're looking for him in the weirdest places. So coming back to us, Jesus telling us, you go feed these people. You give them something to eat. But just like the disciples, I'm like, how? I mean, last time when I sat there and listened to the sermon a few weeks ago, I was like, yeah, it's great. We should need to feed them. But I'm one of the 20,000. I want to be fed. I need to be fed first before I'm going to go feed them. And that's the excuse we all use. That's the excuse that we always put before us before we go ahead and take that next step. And you look back, and the disciples kind of did the same thing. He goes, well, we don't have enough food. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's barely enough to feed me. How am I going to feed others when I only have that? All right? Or they turn around, and the other option was, oh, well, even if I had 200 denarii, which we're saying is the equivalent of a year's salary, if I had a year's time or a year's effort, I couldn't even do that. If I had that amount every day of my life, I wouldn't have enough to feed the people. So it's still this lack of faith or lack of, not a lack of will, but this job is too big for me. I can't do it. And because it's too big, we kind of escape under the banner of excuses and go into the, it's too big. It's the church's job or it's God's job. Like the disciples said, let them go find a lodge for themselves and then tomorrow is a new day. And we do that a lot. I mean, a lot of the times people have gone and found lodges themselves. They come and knock on the door themselves and they come to the church and they want to be a part of our church. And we embrace them and we bring them in and we feel real proud of ourselves for it. But the fact of the matter is we didn't bring them in here. They came in by the grace of God. And yes, we've embraced them and we've taken them in, but that's not what God's telling us to do. God's telling us to go out to them, right? We leave here every Sunday and we go into the world and we interact with, I'd say, thousands of people throughout the week. What influence do we have on their life? And that's what Jesus is saying to us. You need to be that source of bread for them. My question is, how? And I've been asking that over the last few weeks, the last few days, how am I going to change anything for them? And God says, you give me the little you have, you come to me with your 5 loaves and 2 fish, you put them before me, I will bless them, and I will break them up for you, I'll give it back to you, and you'll go into the world, and you'll have more than enough. You'll fill the crowds, you'll feed them, and they will be filled, and there'll be leftovers. And One of the points that one of the sermons was making is there's 3 main things to feed the people. You have to give them Christ, and to give them Christ, you need to show them love, you need to show the joy, and you need to show the peace of Christ. Okay, love, joy, peace. That's all well and good. How? And I think the easiest way to do that is to look at the negative. If you are a source of hatred in someone's life, or you have a feeling of hatred to other people in your work, you're not going to be a source of love. If you are a troublemaker or you fight a lot with your colleagues and you're always in conflict with people at work, you're not a source of peace. If you're like the guy who's always ruining the party or the buzzkill, the lack of joy, you're not the joy of the world, right? And I remember back when, this was maybe 10 years ago, I had a big project at work and they were hiring lots and lots of people. And I was asking the guys that were at church, anyone who needed a job. And there were 2 young guys who just finished uni and they were looking for work, so they joined the project too. And so we had 3 Coptic guys from church on this project. One of the guys, and a lot of the guys know him, he came, and his influence on the people around us at work was absolutely amazing. Everyone within weeks knew that he was a Coptic Christian. They all knew we all went to church. But for some reason, they picked him out. They asked him about his Christianity. What do you do with your life? Why are you different to everyone else? And to our shame, it wasn't us who made the difference. And we knew everyone for years. It was this one boy. And a few weeks later, like my closest friends at work were like, hey, we're going with this guy on Friday night to the youth meeting. Are you going to join us? Yeah, okay, I'll join you. but it was his influence on their life, right? And it made me feel ridiculously shameful for myself. But he truly was this disciple who went and fed the people. It was that influence that he had on the people around him. And tragically, in that same year, his dad died completely out of shock. It was a heart attack. He died, and he went through a really tough time. But this did not change the way he was around the other people. He was still full of joy. He was still full of peace. Like, he wasn't happy because he was miserable about the fact that he lost his father. But he was still a source of joy. And he was still a source of love for everyone around him. And 5 years later, I found myself on the other side of the world and ran into one of these guys in Vietnam. And we're out having dinner. And he goes, "Oh yeah, I wanted to ask you, how's that guy? You know," and he only spent 6 months of his life with him. But he still remembered him. And we still remembered the way this person was on his life. And that was a clear, perfect example to me of how we need to be to the people around us and how we need to feed the people around us. And just one last point is, not completely sure if my interpretation of this is correct, so please forgive me if it's wrong, but it's still a nice mental note for me, is at the end, when they collected all the fragments, there were 12 baskets left over. Now, I'm picturing the 12 disciples, right? They're all asked to go and get the groups in groups and feed them and take the food and then go and collect. Now, I look at the disciples and think, all right, they were busy that whole day feeding the crowds. I don't even know if they got a chance to eat during the time they were taking care of them. But they start off with, "Jesus, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed everyone and ourselves." And at the end of it, every one of them coming back returns back with a basket of food. It's like to say, the excuse that we use to ourselves that we're not full yet, feeder, I need to be full before I go, is like Jesus saying, you go feed the people and you'll come back with a basket of food for yourself. You'll have more than enough. You'll be filled. You won't be filled just not doing it. The action of you feeding others will fill you. And I think that is the biggest driver for us to take that message back to the people. And you don't need to go and preach to them, literally. You being loving and full of joy and full of peace is enough for people to be drawn to you. And it's not drawn to you personally, they're drawn to Christ in you. And that is the message of today. We need to draw people to us through Christ in us. And if they're not being drawn to us, it's because we're not reflecting Christ in us. And that basically puts it back on us. What are we doing wrong? Fix ourselves up, and by fixing ourselves up, we will draw people to us. How do I fix myself? I come to God. Here is my 5 loaves and 2 fish. Use me for your people. Use me, and my selfishness means by you using me to serve you, I'll actually get filled. And that is like the icing on the cake for me. That's how I find salvation at the end. And glory be to God forever.
Of this day.